Well, welcome, man. It's great to have you here with us. If we haven't met before, my name is Mark. I'm one of the pastors here, and want to welcome you here in the West venue and those over in the East venue right now, and those who are joining us on our online campus. Great to have you with us as well. Here's what we're doing today. We are in week two of a series we started last week, and we're going to go for a couple more weeks after today. And we're talking today about how do we schedule margin. That's what we're going to look at today. How do we schedule margin? How do we make time for different things? And let me just ask you a question. East venue, you can play along with us in the West, and those that are online, you can play along as well. How many of you would say, boy, I just wish I had more time to be able to do what I want to do or to relax? Or would you raise your hand up if that is you? Ooh, yeah, mercy. A lot of us. Sometimes we think, man, I wish I had more time to spend with my loved one. Would you raise your hand? And you better do it if you're sitting next to your loved ones, right? Okay. You're like, no, I really don't. It's going to be a long car ride home. Okay, anyway, that's good. But we are always looking for how do we have more time for what we really want to do. Maybe, hopefully, I would hope that all or most or some of us would say, man, I'd like to have more time with God, or I'd just like to have any time with God because I just don't have time with him right now. You know, I was thinking, what if God were to say, okay, you need more time? Poof, now 25 hours a day. Like, whoo, I'm going to tell you what you would and would not do with that extra hour a day. You probably wouldn't spend time with God. What you would do is you would do the same stuff you've done before. You'd be answering emails, you'd be doing chores, you'd be doing errands, you'd be doing all sorts of different work, but you would fill it up just like you are with when you fill up the 24 hours. For whatever reason, we just oftentimes do not have margin in our life. And yet for some reason we want it and we can't figure out why we can't get it. Well, I'm hoping that today will help us. If we actually, again, listen, take notes to remind us of what we talked about and begin to apply some of these things, it could actually change and revolution your life. Now, let me tell you, one of the things that I'm thinking about when it comes to like a relationship with God and having time with God is that I'm thinking of like a car. If you're driving down the road, you may or may not know a lot about cars, but when you're driving down the road, your car is made to kind of veer off to the right of the road. In other words, if you have like a medical issue, you pass out, something like that, your car is supposed to just gradually kind of go off to the side of the road. When it is out of alignment, that means it's not balancing right, and maybe sometimes it'll take you into oncoming traffic. And you do not want that. You want to be in alignment so you can go a little bit off to the right if you have a problem. But out of alignment means you're going into traffic. And I'm going to tell you, when it comes to our relationship with God, I'm going to tell you that many of us, and at some point, all of us have been out of alignment with God. God wants us to be kind of being pulled towards him. But yet we end up being pulled towards the way this world and society takes us. We're getting pulled towards society, not God. And God's going, I want you to have margin. I want you to get realigned. I want you to be focused and be pulled towards me so that you can have a relationship with me. And so one of the things we're going to talk about today is how do we schedule margin, and how do we schedule margin also with God as part of that picture. So we're going to be looking at that, and we're going to have some notes. You can do it. You can take notes on the app, or you can take notes on the note card in your program, whichever works for you. But let me give you something for your notes. We're going to put it in there as from last week. I just want to kind of remind us of what we talked about last week, and here it is. Margin is the amount available beyond what is necessary. Let me say that again. Margin is what's available beyond what is necessary, okay? In other words, and we talked about this last week, and again, you're going, well, I was here last week. Well, that's great. One of my titles is CRO. I'm a chief reminding officer. I want to keep reminding us of certain things, right? So in other words, it's this. Its margin is the amount available beyond what is necessary. It is the amount available beyond what is necessary. So last week, I kind of gave you a couple of examples. One of them was if you had a $100 bill, and you had bills that were a total of $80, your margin would be how much? 20. Good. I was worried. Okay, good. You're good at math. Okay, so it'd be 20. So that's great. That would be your margin. It's what you have versus what you need. And so a lot of times we look at this and we're going, I don't know if I have margin in my life. And I'll tell you how you can know if you don't have margin in your life. You will know that you do not have margin in your life if somebody cannot interrupt you. Oh, I'm just too busy, not right now. You know you do not have margin in your life if you don't have time to listen to your kids. You know you don't have margin in your life if you don't have time to spend with your spouse. If your spouse calls you at work or emails you and you're like, quit calling me. I mean, that is not a good sign. Oftentimes we're so busy, 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 busy. We don't have margin for certain things like that. In fact, we may not even have margin for God. I can't listen to my kids. I can't listen to my spouse. I can't listen to God. I'm just busy, busy, busy. And when it comes to finances, we're the same way. Again, studies tell us most Americans live paycheck to paycheck. If they miss a paycheck, they're out of work. And all of a sudden, they're going to be out of a rent, or they're going to have the home foreclosed because they are living paycheck to paycheck. And most Americans, and you know probably the stats as well, most Americans not only live in paycheck to paycheck, but they will have nothing else for the rest of the month. Like right around week two or three of the month, they're like running out of money. And they're like, I don't know what I'm going to do. And so last week, I gave an example of somebody that goes to a payday loan place and borrows money. And then the next week when she gets paid, she goes and pays it back and 30% interest and then wonders why I don't have money. I'm going to tell you, this is normal. This is normal in our culture. But see, one of the things we talked about last week is that whenever culture's going this way, God says go the exact opposite. Don't be normal. Some of you do that really well. Don't be normal. Society goes this way. God says, don't be normal. Go the other direction. Go towards me because I will show you an actually better way. And in Ephesians 5, there's a verse that says this. It says, be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise. No, don't live as unwise. Not as unwise, but as, say the last word of the, as what? Wise. Don't live as unwise, but live as wise, making the most of every opportunity. Because why? Because the days are evil. You don't think the days are evil? Woo, just watch the news. You will see stuff going crazy all over our country and all over our world. Do not be unwise, but be wise. And then the verse goes on and it says this. It says, therefore, do not be foolish. Do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Don't be unwise. That's the first half of the verse. Don't be unwise. Don't be foolish. Be wise. I'm going to ask you, and I don't want you to raise your hand. I don't want you to look at your neighbor. I want you to think of yourself internally. How do you live most of the time? Are you living as unwise or foolish, or are you living as wise? And I'm going to tell you, some of you right now, you're going to be thinking I'm a mind reader. But some of you right now, you are thinking of other people you know that are living unwise or foolish. And you're thinking of other people because you're going, I'm not living unwise or foolish. Not me. You're thinking of other people. It might be your kids. It might be your parents. It might be your spouse. But you're thinking of other people. And can I tell you what they're thinking of? They're thinking of you. Isn't that true? We oftentimes don't see it in ourselves, but we sure see it in other people. And the other people are thinking about you because they're going, yeah, you're kind of unwise. You're kind of foolish. You're not really living wise like you should. So don't be tempted to be thinking of other people. I want you to look at yourself. According to this verse, do you live, when it comes to margin, when it comes to your life, do you live unwise and foolish, or do you live wise? Which one is, and be honest with yourself. Let me give you something for your notes. There is a pull away from the most important things to the lesser important things of this world. Do you know that? There seems to be a pull to always kind of take us to more of the lesser things instead of the more important things. And all of a sudden, we talked about this last week, urgency. All of a sudden, all these urgent things come up at work or from a friend or from somebody that's an extended family member. I said, oh, I got to do all this stuff. And yet, do you really? Do you really? Because again, toxic charity is doing something for someone that they could do for themselves. And so often we do things because I got to do it for them. But are we settling for lesser than the best thing? See, a lot of times we just do foolish things. We don't live wise. Don't be unwise. Live as wise is what it says. And then there's a book, probably a few years ago I read. It's by a pastor in Atlanta, Andy Stanley. His dad is Charles Stanley. Both of them are famous preachers. Andy Stanley wrote a book a few years ago that I read. It was called The Best Question Ever. And I'd encourage you to read it. But let me just kind of surmise it for you. The best question ever. The best question isn't whatever the decision you have to make. The best question isn't, is it right or is it wrong? That is not the best question to ask on whatever the decision is you got to make. It's not even, is it free? The best question, here it is for your notes. The best question for you is it wise? Whatever you are making a decision, the question is it wise? Not is it good, not is it bad, not is it right, not is it wrong, is it wise? Don't live as unwise, don't live as foolish, live as wise. That's what that verse just said a moment ago. Is it wise? That is the best question actually to ask. In fact, I left a blank for you that you have to fill in. And here it is. In light of blank decision, whatever that decision is that you have to make, is it wise? I want you to fill in that blank. What decision are you having to think about? What decision are you having to make a decision on? And I want to ask you to do, is it wise? Think about it this way. In light of blank, fill in that blank, the decision I got to make on this, is it wise? Not right, not wrong, not free, not cheap. Is it wise? If we stop and look at things in that perspective, I'm going to tell you, it will grow us leap and bounds, and we will sidestep a lot of landmines. Because a lot of times we just honestly make the decision because it's something that we feel that we have to do or that we want to do. And oftentimes we get into a mess. So the best question is it wise? Is it wise? That's the question that we need to be asking ourselves. In other words, in light of our marriage struggles, is it wise for me to connect with that old boyfriend or girlfriend on Facebook? Not wise. Not gonna help things. In light of having two kids in diapers, should we get a cat? No, no. That is not wise. I don't care if they're in diapers or not. It's never wise. But you gotta answer these questions, right? Right? You gotta answer these questions. Okay. In light of fill in the blank, in light of me working dog days, I'm just all the time working, 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 just slaving, slaving, slaving. Is it wise for me to take on extra? When I don't even have time to see my wife, my husband, my spouse, my kids, is it wise? I mean, I could get more money. Sounds like a good thing. I could get more money, but I'm gonna see my family less than I do now. Is it wise? You see, not if it's right, not if it's wrong, not if it gets me more money or less money, but is it wise? That's the best question we could ask, and that's what that verse is talking about. Do not be unwise, be wise. How do we start applying this? I challenge you, fill in that blank. Whatever decision you're making now, fill it in with whatever that decision is, and then ask yourself, is it wise? And see what God wants to say to you. Let me give you a verse in James 4. James 4, it says this. I love this. It says, your life, now listen to this, your life is a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Your life is a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. And this verse is telling us, I don't care how long you live. You may die young as a teenager. You may live to 100. But however long you and I have on this planet, however long we have, it is simply, when you look at all of eternity and you look at how long this earth has been, we are just a mist and then it's gone. I was thinking about this last night. We got a 10-month-old puppy. In the last month or so, I don't know if it's when she's hungry or tired or playful or what, but there's a certain time of day where she just loves to bite. And a couple weeks ago, I came home and I'm seeing the stuff on the floor. And I'm like, what is this? And I'm picking it up and I couldn't figure out what this was, but I could tell that the pup had started chewing on something. Then I figured out what it was. The corner of a chair just got a big old hole on that. I'm like, oh my goodness. And then she saw all of a sudden, if you walk around barefoot, she starts biting your ankles. And so a couple days ago, and last night we started a couple days ago, and last night we were really using it. I told my wife, I said, we gotta do something with this dog. And so, but let me just tell you, I will always take a biting puppy over a cat. Just want to let you know that. Okay. So here I told my wife, I said, we got to get a handle on this thing. So we got a little spray bottle filled with water. Whenever she's like biting furniture or biting us, we like, psst. And all of a sudden I noticed last night as I was spraying it in her face, this water comes out as a mist. And within a second, you just, psst, and it's gone. And all of a sudden, it just kind of gets the dog's attention, and it's kind of like, "Ooh, okay, I won't do that again," right? And it's actually starting to work. It's a great thing. But that mist reminded me, we are not here for that long. And I'm going to tell you, if you're a teenager, you're like, "Oh, yeah, whatever." But when you get to be like my age and older, you're like, you look back and go, "Dang, that went by fast. Where did it go?" I mean, I'm looking at my daughter. She's 19, and I'm like, I remember taking her to kindergarten for the first time. It seems like it was just a couple weeks ago. It's like, what in the world happens? It's because your life, my life, no matter how long you and I live, it's a mist. It's here and it's gone. And God is saying, during this time where you have life, even though it's just brief, be wise. Have margin. Don't do what everybody else does, because everybody else doesn't have margin. Have margin for the important things in life. That is what God calls us to. Let me give you something for your notes, and then we're gonna kind of unpack this. This is a key thing I want you to understand. We must learn to say no. Listen, we must learn to say no to many good things so that we can say yes to the best things. We need to say no to many good things so we can say yes to the best things. So often we do it the opposite. Everything that comes to us, we feel like we have to say yes because work asked us, or my family asked me, or my friend asked me, or my extended family asked me. And so I've got to do it all. And all of a sudden you're like, you're not resting. You have no margin. You're running out of money. And you're like, is it wise? Why am I saying yes to everything? Sometimes we have to say no to good things. I mean, they're good things, let's be honest. Some of those things are good. But we have to say no to some good things so we can say yes, actually, to the best things. Let me give you a verse. Romans, it says this. It says, do not conform. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Don't do it. Society's going this way. The world's going this way. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. But be transformed by the renewing of your, say it with me, mind. Now, this is a verse we talked about last week. We talked about renewing of our mind. Why are we renewing our mind? Because as we renew our mind, as we get draw close to God and we begin to think differently, then when we think differently, we act differently. That's why also in Scripture talks about this, the armor of God. If you've ever read that part of Scripture, it talks about put on the full armor of God. If you're a follower of Christ, put on the full armor of God. And it starts off with this thing called the helmet of salvation. Why do you think it starts there? Because the helmet protects the head. And what God is saying spiritually, he goes, put on the helmet of salvation. Focus on me. Let me speak to you. Because when you start thinking the way God thinks, and you, all of a sudden it begins to change your mind. Because if you do not put on the helmet of salvation and draw close to God and think like God thinks, then what happens is all of a sudden the enemy begins to speak to you. You see, the helmet of salvation, that's God's way of protecting us as we draw closer to him and think his ways. Because if we don't do that, the enemy always starts in the mind. He'll start with, you know, that girl from high school that you used to date. She's reaching out to you on Facebook or on Instagram. And all of a sudden you're like tempted because, you know, you were thinking about maybe you're going to get married at one point with that girl. And all of a sudden you're like, oh, it'd be fine to just kind of chat with her a little bit and not tell my wife, not tell my husband. That is not God's heart. That is not God's will. But Satan always plants these things in our mind first. Why do you think our society is crazy? Things are just going nuts in our society where more people, even kids, have depression, have anxiety, have all of these things of the mind. People have always had that, but not like it is today. It's because the enemy always starts in the mind. He always plants seeds of doubt. You're not good enough. God can't forgive you. You've sinned too much. You've done too much bad. Your family doesn't like you anymore. Your wife's going to leave you. God can't forgive you because you've done so many bad things. But yet when we put on the helmet of salvation and we renew our mind, all of a sudden God's going, don't listen to that voice. I want you to understand what I tell you in the Bible. I love you. I created you. I am your father. I want you to be my son. I want you to be my daughter. My son, Jesus, died for you. Yes, you've done wrong, but I'm not mad at you. I don't hate you. I love you. I want a relationship with you. And you can have that with me if you accept what my son did when he died for your sins. Or you can pay for it for eternity all yourself, but I'm going to tell you, you don't have to. You can accept what my son did because I love you. I want a relationship with you now so that when you're with me in eternity, we can be together. You see, but so often we don't think that because we don't put on the helmet of salvation. We're not renewing our mind. We're listening to the enemy and all the negative things he puts in our mind. God hates you. Everybody else hates you. You're never going to be any good. And God's going, that is not true. Don't listen to it. But what do? We listen to it because we haven't renewed our mind. We haven't put on the helmet of salvation. What if we started changing in those areas? What if we had margin to where we could like hear God and spend time with God? What would that do if we renewed our mind? I mean, this is huge. Some people have told me over the years, Mark, some of the things you talk about are weird and the way that you live is weird. And I'm like, hey, awesome. You know why? Because normal doesn't work. Normal doesn't work. You know what normal is in marriage? Divorce. Yeah, you know what normal is in kids? Rebellion. You know what normal is in finances? Being broke. These things are normal in society. And I don't want to be normal because it's not working for society. It's not even working for people in the church that are following society. That's why we need to turn. We need to change. We need to shift. We need to have margin. And where we start to have margin is when we have relationship with God and we begin to change and he helps us to change our thinking. So often we just kind of go with the flow and go with what everybody else is doing. Let me give you something for your notes. Busyness. Busyness does not equal productivity. A lot of times we think, oh, I'm busy. I'm producing stuff. Busy, busy, busy. In fact, I think about this. Let's say you run into somebody somewhere and you haven't seen them for a while. Maybe it's been a few months or maybe a year or so. Here's what you just kind of say. Hey, how you doing? How's it going? And usually they'll say oh, I've been busy. And then they'll say, well, how are you doing? Oh, I've been busy. Because all of a sudden we're going, what else are we gonna say? I mean, people who are busy are important. What am I gonna say? Oh, I'm not busy. Oh, well then you must not be important, right? So I wanna sound important and I probably am busy, but even if I'm not, I'm just gonna tell them I'm busy because I wanna sound like I'm important. Because we think that being busy means important. We think that being busy is productivity. But I'm gonna tell you, it's not always that way. You're busy in the stuff that really doesn't matter in some cases, and you know that. You're doing stuff that you really shouldn't be doing. In fact, let me give you something for your notes. Just because you could do something doesn't mean you should do something. Just because you could do something doesn't mean you should do something. Let me give you an example. If you have a friend, somebody at work, extended family member, whatever. I need you to come and do this for me. Now, you got to ask yourself, do they really need me to come and do it? And if they really do, that's fine. But a lot of times people get themselves in a mess and they just want to dump it on you and have you fix it. And I'm going to tell you, for you to do something that somebody else could do for themselves, that is the definition of toxic charity. And all of a sudden we feel like we have to do it. But if they could do it, you don't have to do it. But so often, we are oftentimes have no margin because we let everybody else dictate what we're going to do. They're going to dump their garbage on us. You don't always have to do that. Just because you could do something doesn't mean that you should do something. Let me tell you, for me, this is something over the years that I have had the opportunity, a privilege, I would say. Over the years, I've had in the community, I've had opportunities to be parts of committees or boards. Very few times do I say yes to that. Very few times I'll say yes to that because I could say yes to everything and I could do this much good in a whole bunch of areas. Or what I've chosen to do is I've chosen to only accept on a very few cases because I want to, instead of doing good this deep all on a whole bunch of places, I want to do the best in a couple of different areas. That's what I could do good or in everything, or I could do best in a couple different areas. And for me, I have chosen to do best in a couple different places. One is the local church, to help grow the local church. I think there's nothing like the local church. God gave his son's life for the local church. This is the best thing on the planet. We are here because God died for us. We can have a relationship for him, but also we are to be his hands and feet, and we are to transform this community and this world. And we do that in so many ways because so many of you are volunteering out in the community. And if you are, write it down in your connection card. We want to hear about it. But we have so many people doing that. We are giving so much every month to different places, local and around the country and around the world, helping people like crazy. That is what God calls us to do. And so if I'm out doing other stuff or other boards, that's good. I am missing what God has called me to do here. In fact, I'll tell you, when they were looking for a new pastor and they're asking me to come, and I've told you, if you're a regular C3, I told you before, I didn't want to come. And so we had an interview. They interviewed me. And they said, okay, so if we decide to pick on you, Mark, pick you to, as the pastor, If you're the new pastor, here's the thing. You would be at every function, right? I said, not on your life. And some of you were that were on that search committee are here right now. You're like, oh, don't tell this story. But I said, no, I'm not gonna be at everything. Well, what do you mean? I said, so here, let me ask you. So I'm working all day at the church, and then at night, whenever there's functions, and usually in the church world, there's a lot of different functions. So that night, then I'm at all the different functions. When am I going to see my family? When am I going to see my wife? When am I going to see my daughter? When am I going to have family time? And all of a sudden, I begin to tell them about how many people I have known that have been in the ministry, have been in pastors and stuff, that are now divorced because they put the church as number one. Can I tell you what my number one, two, and three is? Number one is God, right? Number two is family. Number three is the church. And you're lucky you're number three, because if my dog wasn't biting, that would be number three and you'd be number four, right? But it's always God is number one. Family's next, then the church. That's the criteria. It's not church first. It's God first. It's family. Because I've seen so many people in ministry get that backwards, and all of a sudden they're divorced and they don't understand what's going on. Why did I get divorced? Because your spouse and your kids felt neglected. And you may not be in ministry, you may not be a pastor, but whatever you are doing for a job, think about it that way as well. Are you doing something in your job that is taking you away from your family? What is your priorities? My hope would be it'd be God, family, and then whatever you do for a living. But if it's somehow reversed, I want you to think wisely. What is the best decision? What should be the criteria? Is it God first, family, or is it job first? What is the wise decision? That's what we talked about just a little bit ago. And so for as a family, when our daughter was little, we would make sure we always had family time. We'd do little skits together, and I remember when she was little, we'd have like tickle fights. Well, now she's 19, it's kind of weird, so we don't do that. So, but as she's gotten older, we've done like game nights, not every night, but we'll take time, TV's off, we're playing games with the family, listening to some music and stuff, just to make sure that we have family time. This is important to us, and we're also trying to model it for our daughter's future family. This is important. We have to understand these things. We could say yes to a whole bunch of things, or we could say no to those and say yes to greater things. The choice is yours. You see, the problem is this. Sometimes we pick lesser things instead of the most important things. Is it wise? That's the question we need to ask ourselves. Is it wise? Then Ephesians, again, tells us, be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. And I just want to hammer that home to us. Are we being wise in everything we do? See, here's the thing. Oftentimes when we begin to have less time with God, it takes two things away from us. I'm going to put this in your notes for you. Two things, what happens. When we kind of don't have margin, two things happen that get squeezed out. And here's the first thing. One of them is intimate time with God. Oftentimes, intimate time with God gets pushed out. I don't have margin. I don't have time. I can't do this. But let me show you what it says in Matthew. Matthew says this, but seek what? First, his, God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. In other words, let me reword it. This is what I call one of those if-then verses. God says, if you do this, then I, God, will do that. If you seek me first, God says, then all these things will be added to you. But we need to seek God first. But when we don't have margin, we don't seek God. We don't seek him in his word, through prayer, even being part of the local church body, which Christ gave his life for. Last week, I talked about this. Last week, I talked about how we did a study in our church, and a little over 50% of people, adults, youth, and children, only come about once a month. And we talked about, okay, if you went for 1 hour once a month to the gym, by the end of the year, you're not going to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger or the Hulk. You're going to look like you do now. That's not going to help you grow at all with God. But yet we think, oh yeah, once a month, you know, for an hour, yeah, that'll be good enough for my kids. That's good. It does not. And yet I'm going to tell you, this is what happens. We have intimacy. Intimacy with God just goes away, including time with God. Oh, we're busy. I went last Sunday, so I got to take 3 weeks to recuperate, and then I'll be back, you know, next month. I mean, there's a problem here. There's a problem. And some of you are like, man, I don't remember hearing this last week. That's because you only come once a month. You're here today. And I'm going to tell you, for the next 2 weeks, I'm going to keep reminding this, because there's other people that haven't come yet this month, so they're going to be coming the next two. You're going to hear it next week and the following week. This is something that God's calling us to be part of the body of Christ. Be here, learn, help our kids learn, apply. This is what God's called us to do. Now, so that's the first thing, is when we don't have margin, it kind of pushes out intimate time with God. But here's the second thing we also lose: intentional times of rest. We don't have time to rest. We just keep going, 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 work, 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 busy, busy, busy. We don't have time for rest, relaxation, anything like that. And let me give you a verse. It says in Matthew, it says, come to me, this is Jesus speaking, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you what? Rest. Come to me if you're burdened, worried, exhausted, tired, anxious, come to me and I will give you rest. Then he goes on and says this in the rest part of the verse. He goes, take my yoke, take upon you, and learn from me, Jesus says, for I am hard. No, I'm not. I'm gentle, he says, and humble in heart. And you will find, say it with me, rest for your souls. Whew. Something about that verse just speaks to me, and I think it maybe speaks to your heart too. God is saying, I will give you rest, rest for your soul. And I love how God never asks us to do something that he doesn't first model. If you look at the beginning of Genesis, and you read in Genesis that God created everything, this whole world and everything in it, in 6 days. And then on the seventh day, what did he do? He rested. And then we have in the Ten Commandments, one of the commandments is that we should honor the Sabbath, take a day of rest. God is saying, 6 days, you're gonna work 6 days all you want, but you need it. I made it within you that you need one day of rest. But sometimes we think we're so busy that we don't have time to do that. We gotta just keep going, going, going. And God's going, it won't work, because you will not have rest and you will not have time with me, and you're not gonna have time with your family either. So really it comes down to the question is it wise? That's really what it comes down. Is it wise? Let me tell you, God gives you the same amount of time as he gives me. You have time to do what you choose to do. It's your choice what you're gonna do with your 24 hours. So today, I'm encouraging you, make margin for family and for God. Let's pray. So Father, right now as we wrap up our time, we thank you that you're a good God, you're an amazing God. We thank you that you love us. We thank you that you've forgiven us of our sins. If we've asked you, if we accepted what Jesus did. And God, today we're talking about margin. And Lord, if we were honest, a lot of people right now, sound on my board, are so busy, 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 that they don't have time for their spouse, their kids, for anything, for rest, for time with you. God, would you speak to us? And may we remember, is this the best or is this the bad idea, but is it wise? So Lord, would you help us to look at whatever decisions we have to make through that lens? Is it wise? And I pray that we would choose what you call us to. May we put you first as you call us to. Father, I pray that you help us with our margin. And I pray that we would draw closer to you and closer to our family because of it. Now, Father, today there are some that right now, as they're talking about margin, they're going, I don't even have a relationship with you. But today they're pausing and they're examining their heart. And they're realizing that they don't. And they're asking right now, dear God, forgive me. I don't have this relationship. I need this margin. I need forgiveness. I need a relationship with you. And so God, today we pause and we examine ourselves. And we realize that we don't want to pay for our sins for all eternity. We want to have a relationship with you now. So Jesus, we accept what you did. And now because you died and took the hit for me, I don't have to follow you, but I want to because you gave everything. And I am so thankful for that. And now, God, would you help me to renew my mind? Would you help me to look at what is wise and to have margin in every area of my life? And may you be honored and glorified. We ask this in your amazing name. Amen.